You know, building an app takes forever, right? Like, imagine if you could have an AI do most of the work for you. That's what vibe coding is all about. Today, we're diving deep into a YouTube tutorial by Matthew Berman. He's a developer who's been knee-deep in this stuff. We're going to uncover the tools, the techniques, and maybe even laugh at some of those funny moments when the AI goes off the rails a little bit.
Yeah, it's like a sneak peek into the future of making software. This
Yeah.
is how we're all going to be building stuff soon, I think. Whether you code for a living or just want to see what the hype is all about, this deep dive is going to break it all down.
Okay, I'm hooked. But let's start with the basics. What is vibe coding exactly? Is it just like a fancy way of saying AI autocomplete for your code?
Oh, it's way more than just autocomplete.
Yeah.
Vibe coding is all about using AI agents. Think of them like super smart coding assistants. These agents can write the code for your entire app. I mean, you just give them instructions like, hey, build me a login screen, and they actually go and build it, like from start to finish.
Wait, so the AI can write a whole app like from scratch. How do you keep it from turning into a total mess of code?
That's the trick, right? You need to use the right kind of AI. It can't just be good at coding. It needs to follow instructions and use tools, kind of like a really good intern, but maybe
Yeah.
without all the common sense yet.
So it's not about just writing code, it's about getting the AI to understand what you actually want to build.
Exactly. There are three main things to look for: agentic behavior, function calling, and tool calling. So agentic behavior is basically like, can the AI actually act on instructions? Can it make decisions, figure out things like where to store data, and even like which tools to use to get the job done? Function calling means it can use existing code function, so it's not reinventing the wheel all the time.
Yeah.
And then tool calling, that's the AI's ability to use tools like APIs or databases to actually build the thing you asked for.
It's like you're giving the AI a toolbox and telling it to go wild, but like in a good way.
Exactly. And Berman recommends Claude 3.7 thinking as a model that's really good for this. It's built for these higher level thinking tasks, which makes it great for agentic coding.
Okay, that makes sense. But what if I wanted to use a different AI model? Can you mix and match these things?
Oh, absolutely. Berman shows how you can customize your setup. He even uses another AI, this one called Grok, to help him write the specifications, like the blueprint for his app. He's building a Twitter clone, by the way. Pretty neat way to use AI for planning. Make sure you have all the details ironed out before you start coding.
Wait, so the AI can help me figure out what I want to build before I even start. That's crazy.
Right. And speaking of the spec, you absolutely need a detailed one for vibe coding. It's the roadmap for your AI buddy. The more details you give it, the better it'll understand what you're trying to create.
Okay, that makes sense. But you know, what happens if the AI decides to go rogue? What if it just ignores your instructions and starts adding random features or using weird technology?
You're hitting on one of the biggest gotchas with vibe coding. Berman actually has this funny story. He wanted the AI to use SQL for storing data, and it decided to go with JSON files instead. I mean, imagine giving someone directions and they decide to take a detour through the woods for no reason.
Oh my gosh, that's exactly like when my GPS sends me down a dirt road in the middle of nowhere. So, how do you rein in this rogue AI and keep it on track?
Rules, my friend, rules.
Yeah.
Both Cursor and Windsurf, the environments Berman uses, let you set up these rules for the AI. They're basically instructions that guide its coding style, its technology choices, even its whole workflow. It's like setting boundaries, right? Letting it know what it can and cannot do.
I love setting boundaries, especially with AI. What kind of rules does Berman use?
He has a whole bunch. And honestly, they're super insightful because they show you the quirks and limitations of these AI coding agents. Like, he has rules to keep things simple, avoid duplicate code, keep the code base organized and clean, and even one to stop the AI from bringing in new technology without asking permission. It's like a little coding constitution for the AI to follow.
That last one sounds crucial, especially after the JSON file fiasco. I can totally picture him being like, no more surprise tech. Stick to the plan, AI.
Seriously, though, why would the AI even try to go off script like that? Is it trying to be, like, creative?
It's not about creativity, it's more about, well, the limitations of AI. They're still under development, and they don't always get the nuances of what we mean, you know? Sometimes they make choices that make sense to them, even if they're totally off from what the developer intended. Those rules are there to kind of compensate for that. And as AI gets better, those rules will probably get more complex too.
So it's not just about telling the AI what to do, it's about understanding how it thinks and working within those limitations.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now that we've talked about the environment and those all-important rules, let's move on to the actual vibe coding workflow. It's not a set it and forget it thing, right?
No way. It's like you're having a conversation with the AI, you know? You're giving instructions, testing what it makes, and then refining everything based on the results. It's almost like a dance.
Yes. And that's exactly what we're going to dive into next. How do you talk to the AI? What are the best ways to test and refine the code? Get ready, because we're about to explore the heart of vibe coding and see how this dance really works. All right, so we've covered setting up your environment and those rules, but what's it actually like to work with an AI coding buddy? Let's get into the actual workflow of vibe coding.
Yeah, I want the juicy details. Do I just tell the AI, build me an app, grab a coffee, and come back to a finished product? I wish it were that easy. It's definitely more of a back and forth kind of thing. You give the AI very specific instructions, like narrow instructions, let it work. You test what it spits out, and then you kind of like refine based on those results. It's almost like working with a really talented, but maybe really unpredictable intern, right?
Yeah.
You got to give them some guidance, check their work, sometimes bring them back down to earth when they start wandering off.
So I'm picturing myself giving the AI a command, something like create a login screen, needs a username field, password field, and, you know, the forgot password link. What happens then? Does it just like magically produce a perfect login screen right away?
Maybe, but it's not going to be like, you know, production ready on the first try. Remember, this AI is still learning. You're more likely to get a basic structure, a solid starting point.
Right.
Then you got to test it out, see how it works, and give the AI some feedback. Maybe the design isn't quite right, or you need to add some validation to those input fields. So you tell the AI what needs to be fixed, and it goes back and makes those changes, tries to improve the code based on what you said.
So it's like a conversation. I'm saying, okay, this is good, but can you make the button bigger? And we need some error handling here.
That's a great way to think about it. And that's kind of where the whole vibe part of vibe coding comes from, I think.
Yeah.
Like, you're feeling out the AI, getting a sense of what it's good at, learning how to talk to it so you get the results you want. It's like you're developing a rhythm, you know, a flow that works for both of you.
I like that. Okay, so let's talk testing. How do you test code that an AI wrote? Is it any different from testing, you know, human-written code?
Well, the principles of testing, they're all the same, but there are some things to keep in mind when you're dealing with AI-generated code. Berman really stresses the importance of end-to-end testing. Basically, you want to test the entire application, you know, as a whole, just like a real user would interact with it.
Right. So not just checking if individual parts work, but making sure the whole flow of the app is smooth and makes sense.
Exactly. End-to-end testing is really important because it can catch those weird, subtle issues that might not show up with just unit testing, you know, because the AI might solve a problem in a way that technically works, but it's not the most elegant or efficient solution. You know what I mean?
So I need to be paying attention to how the AI fixes things, making sure it's in line with my overall vision for the app. This is a lot more involved than I initially thought.
It is. Vibe coding isn't about like replacing us, the developers. It's about giving us a really powerful tool that can help us build things faster. But you still need to know the fundamentals of software engineering. You got to think critically and, you know, guide the AI to make sure you get the result you want.
Okay, I get it. Now, we talked about specs before and how important they are, but how detailed do they really need to be? Do I have to, like, spell out every single line of code I want the AI to write?
Oh, no, no, no. Think of the spec as a high-level roadmap, not a step-by-step instruction manual. Give the AI enough context to understand the big picture,
yeah,
the main features of the app, the technologies you want to use, that kind of stuff.
So more like, I want a user profile page where users can upload a photo, add a bio, and see their recent activity.
Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect starting point.
Yeah.
Then you can add details as you go. Like, maybe you want the profile picture to be circular, the bio has a character limit, and the recent activity is sorted by date. You get the idea.
So I can adjust how much detail I give depending on how complicated the feature is.
Got it. Precisely. And as you work more with the AI, you'll get a better feel for what level of detail works best. It's part of that vibe, that back and forth we talked about.
You know, one thing I'm wondering about is, like, context management. How do I make sure the AI has enough information to do its job, but not so much that it gets overwhelmed?
That's a really good question. Context management is a big deal with vibe coding because AI, you know, it has a limited memory in a way. It can only process so much information at once.
So if I just throw the entire project spec at it, it's going to get confused and probably mess things up.
Pretty much. The trick is to give the AI enough context for the specific task, but not overload it with irrelevant stuff. Like if you're asking it to build a login screen, it doesn't need to know about, you know, some other unrelated feature you're planning to add later.
So break down the project into smaller chunks and just feed it the relevant information for each piece.
Exactly. It's all about finding that sweet spot. And as AI models improve, they'll be able to handle bigger chunks of information. But for now, that's something you got to keep in mind with vibe coding.
It's like you're working with this like super smart intern who also happens to be a little forgetful. You got to give them clear instructions, remind them what they're working on, and make sure they're not trying to do too many things at once.
That's a perfect analogy. It really highlights the importance of patience and clear communication when you're working with AI.
Okay, so we've covered instructions, testing, context management. What other tips and tricks does Berman have for like getting the most out of vibe coding?
Well, one of his biggest recommendations is to stick with popular technologies, like the mainstream stuff. AI models are trained on tons of data, and they tend to have a better understanding of technologies that are already widely used because there's more documentation and examples available.
So if I'm using some like obscure programming language that nobody's heard of, the AI is going to have a harder time.
Yeah, it's possible. Sticking to a popular tech stack just increases the chances that the AI will be able to write good code and use its knowledge effectively. It's like speaking a language that the AI is fluent in.
Makes sense. Any other pearls of wisdom from Berman?
Oh, he also emphasizes the importance of committing your code frequently. Think of commits as like save points. By committing frequently, you create a history of your changes, so if the AI messes something up or you don't like a change it made, you can easily go back to a previous version. It's like a safety net, just in case.
So I can experiment and not worry too much about breaking things because I can always go back to a working version.
That's nice. Absolutely. And this is especially important with vibe coding, since the AI is making more decisions on its own. Frequent commits give you more control, and it gives you peace of mind.
This has been super helpful. I'm getting a much better understanding of what vibe coding is all about. But I gotta ask, with all this talk about rules, testing, and context, is it really faster than just coding yourself?
That's a great question. And the answer, like with most things in software development, is it depends. So individual steps, like, you know, generating a specific function or component with the AI, that can be surprisingly fast. But the whole process from start to finish might not actually be faster than traditional coding. There's still a lot of back and forth with the AI. You got to test things, refine things, make sure everything aligns with your vision.
So it's not like this magic bullet that's going to turn me into a coding superhero overnight.
Not quite, no. But what vibe coding does offer is a different way of working. It's like a shift in how we think about development. It lets you focus on the bigger picture, the design, the architecture, the user experience. You let the AI take care of some of the more, you know, tedious and repetitive coding tasks.
So it's like having a coding partner who can handle the grunt work while I focus on the, like, the creative stuff.
That's a good way to think about it. And this shift in focus can actually make you more productive, especially for certain kinds of projects.
So it's not just about speed, it's about working smarter, not harder.
Exactly. Vibe coding lets you use the AI for what it's good at, the things computers excel at. This frees up your brain to focus on the things that we humans are good at: creativity, solving problems, and understanding what users actually want.
That makes a lot of sense. It's not about replacing us, it's about giving us better tools.
Right. And as these AI models get better and better, we're going to see even more improvements in productivity and efficiency.
So vibe coding is still pretty new, but it already seems like it has huge potential. It's kind of like watching the birth of like a whole new era of software development.
Yeah, it really is. It's exciting,
yeah.
You know? And even though there are still some challenges to figure out, the possibilities are really amazing. Vibe coding could change everything, make software development more accessible, more efficient, and honestly, maybe even more fun.
It's like opening up all these new possibilities, both for people who already code and for, you know, people who are just starting out.
Exactly. As we keep exploring this new frontier, we're not just building apps, we're shaping the future of technology. And that's pretty cool, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's like we're standing at the beginning of a technological revolution and everyone's invited.
Now, we've been focusing a lot on the technical side of things, but there's another really important part of this conversation: the human factor. As AI becomes a bigger part of how we build software, what does that mean for us, the developers? What skills are we going to need in this new world?
That's a great point. We keep saying vibe coding isn't about replacing humans, but it's definitely going to change what skills are in demand. So what does the future hold for us, the flesh and blood coders?
That's exactly what we're going to explore next. We're going to talk about the evolving role of the human developer and what skills you'll need to thrive in this exciting new landscape.
So we've talked about how vibe coding works, but like, where does this all lead? Are we all going to be replaced by AI robots that write perfect code while we just like relax on the beach?
That's definitely a fear that a lot of people have, but honestly, I don't think that's going to happen. Remember, vibe coding is about working with AI, not being replaced by it. It's about using the best of both worlds, you know, humans and AI, to build better software faster.
So it's not humans versus AI, it's humans and AI, like a team.
Exactly. Think about it like this. Back in the day, before we had power tools, carpenters had to do everything by hand. It took forever. Then along came power saws, drills, all those fancy tools, and that made them way more productive. But did those tools replace carpenters? No way. They made them even better at what they do.
So you're saying AI coding tools are like power tools for developers. They help us work faster and focus on the more like creative parts of building software.
That's a great way to put it. And just like carpenters had to learn how to use those new power tools, we're developers are going to need to learn new skills to work effectively with AI.
Okay, so what are those skills? What should developers be focusing on to, you know, stay ahead of the game?
Well, one of the most important things is going to be knowing how to communicate with AI, right? Remember, with vibe coding, you're giving instructions, you're giving feedback, you're guiding the AI to get what you want. The clearer you are, the better the results.
So it's not just about writing code anymore. It's about writing instructions for an AI that writes code. That's like a whole different way of thinking.
It is. And it means we have to change how we approach the development process. We need to break down big, complex problems into smaller steps, think ahead about potential problems, and like really clearly tell the AI what we want. It's kind of like being a conductor, you know, making sure all the instruments are playing together.
So communication skills, writing and speaking, are going to be even more important than before.
Absolutely. And it's not just about talking to the AI, it's also about working well with other people. Since AI is going to be handling more of the like basic coding tasks, we humans need to be even better at working together, sharing ideas, and solving problems as a team.
So teamwork and communication, the basics of any good project, those become even more important with AI.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Okay, so beyond communication, another key skill is going to be critical thinking. Uh-huh. You know, being able to analyze the code that the AI generates. AI is getting really smart, but it's not perfect. It can still make mistakes, write buggy code, or produce stuff that's not optimized.
So we can't just blindly trust the AI. We need to be able to look at what it does, spot problems, and fix them. It's like having a proofreader for code, making sure it's all correct and makes sense.
That's a great way to think about it. And it's not just about finding errors. It's about understanding why the AI made certain choices, recognizing its limitations, you know, and stepping in when you need to give it some extra guidance.
So you're not just a coder anymore. You're like a code reviewer, a mentor for the AI.
Exactly. And that means having a really solid understanding of software engineering principles, best practices, all that good stuff. You need to be able to tell when the AI is cutting corners, making assumptions, or doing things that are like not standard.
So a strong foundation in software development, that's going to be even more important going forward.
Absolutely. Another thing is adaptability, the ability to learn new things quickly. The world of AI is changing so fast. There are new models, new tools, new techniques coming out all the time. Developers who are comfortable with change, you know, who are willing to experiment and learn new things, they're going to have a big advantage.
So it's not enough to just know the tools we have today. You got to be a lifelong learner, always keeping up with what's new in AI.
Exactly. And that adaptability goes beyond just the technical stuff, too. It's about being flexible in how you solve problems, being open to new ideas, and being willing to collaborate with AI in ways that we might not even be able to imagine right now.
So it's about embracing the unknown, being okay with change, and seeing how AI can shake things up in the world of software development.
Exactly. Now, while we've been talking about all these technical skills, there's another side to this that's just as important, the human element.
You mean the things that make us human, like creativity, empathy, intuition, all the things that AI can't do?
Exactly. As AI takes over more of those routine tasks, those human qualities are going to become even more valuable. Things like coming up with new ideas, understanding what users need, and seeing problems before they happen. Those are the skills that are going to separate the really good developers from the rest.
So it's not just about writing code, it's about understanding people, what they want, what frustrates them, and building software that really solves their problems.
Exactly. And that means you need to combine your technical skills with design thinking and, like, emotional intelligence. You got to see the big picture, connect the dots, and create software that's not just functional, but also enjoyable and meaningful for the people who use it.
So you're like a software artist, creating experiences that connect with people on an emotional level.
I love that. And it really shows how important it is to hold on to our humanity, even as we embrace AI. It's about finding that balance, that sweet spot, where humans and AI can work together to make something truly amazing.
So the future of software development, it's looking pretty bright, but there are definitely some challenges ahead. We're all going to have to adapt, learn new things, and rethink what it means to be a developer.
But it's also a super exciting time to be in this field. We're on the edge of a revolution, and we have the chance to shape the future of software in ways we can't even imagine yet.
And hey, who knows? Maybe someday we will be sipping cocktails on the beach while our AI buddies do all the work. But until then, let's enjoy the journey, embrace the challenges, and explore all the amazing possibilities of this new world of AI-powered software development.
That's a perfect way to wrap things up. It's been awesome diving deep into vibe coding with you today. Remember, the future of coding is in our hands. And with a little help from our AI friends, it's going to be incredible.
And that, my friends, is a wrap on our deep dive into the world of vibe coding. We hope you learned something new, got inspired, and maybe even had your mind blown a little bit. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep pushing the limits of what's possible in the ever-changing world of technology.